Someone who is on the inside is Jerome Levin, veteran journalist, you know, has all of these credentials to tell us this story. And he was just in Israel. Jerome, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jamie. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. So, you know, we're here. You went there. What can you report to us?
Well, I went there for 3 weeks, basically on a reporting trip and to accompany my wife, who was at a course at the Hebrew University. And I wanted to see really what was going on because I hadn't been there basically in about a year. And I was kind of bracing myself because I was expecting to see a very wounded Israel. And what I really saw was quite different. After really a lot of unspeakable trauma and loss for Israel and the Jewish people, the restaurants and cafes are bustling, the highways and the train lines are jammed. Investment in startup businesses is massive, and hundreds of U.S. corporations, including NVIDIA, Microsoft, General Motors, are hiring and expanding. So it was really quite a pleasant surprise, I have to say.
How would you describe the mood of the country, Jerome? I mean, are people anxious? Are they defiant? Are they exhausted? Hopeful? You know, all of the above.
Yeah, I think defiant is a very good word. And I think that people really are doubling down. We were staying with family, and while we were there, we attended two weddings. We were with our young nephew who was just going into the army. And I can tell you the mood of the young people is very, very positive. Everybody was really hurt, badly hurt, and badly surprised by the invasion of October 7th. 2023, and of course there are many funerals and lots of families that have to rebound from this tragedy. But I would say that the mood of the people is very strong and very determined to continue to build this state.
What's the view of Benjamin Netanyahu and his government and the actions that they've taken to get to this place?
Well, Benjamin Netanyahu has been a polarizing figure on the political scene for a long time, and he has seemed to overcome all the predictions that he would be gone, that there would be new elections. There are going to be new elections this year, and they come in October, no later than October, according to law. And so already the pundits and the analysts are trying to figure out, is he going to make it again? What's going to be the coalition? It's a very complicated picture because Israel has a parliamentary democracy, not the same kind of democracy that we have in this country. So there are a lot of small parties. And until you can build a coalition that has a majority in the parliament, in the Knesset, then you can't really rule. And in order to build that coalition, you have to make all kinds of compromises and deals with fringe parties. And so it's really hard to figure out exactly whether Netanyahu or one of his political adversaries is going to build the coalition. But that's what's going to be happening over the next number of months is a lot of politicking and posturing in order to get that coalition.
Netanyahu was just at the White House or at Mar-a-Lago with President Trump talking about Hamas being disarmed in this next phase. How is that going from what you can tell?
Well, it's not going well so far. I mean, what's happening is you have really an area that's been largely many of the residences have been destroyed. So people are living in tent cities, and there's a lot of money and a lot of capital that's available to come in and rebuild Gaza. But nobody's going to come in and rebuild Gaza until the Hamas lays down its arms, and it hasn't done that yet. So it's going to have to be some kind of pressure, probably from Qatar, from Turkey, from Saudi Arabia, from Egypt, from some of the Arab countries to persuade Hamas that there's a human toll being exacted on the Palestinian people because they're outside in cold rain, it's malnutrition, they're not getting all the things that they need, the medicine, the food, everything they need, because the humanitarian workers can't work under the threat of being hurt or killed by Hamas fighters. And the Hamas fighters are down in their tunnels. They don't want to come out. I get why they don't want to come out, but somebody has to figure out a way to get them out, either through persuasion or force.
Jerome, how do the Israelis you spoke with view the United States right now? Look at them as an ally or maybe an unreliable partner?
Oh, absolutely. I think I've said this to many people. Donald Trump could be elected prime minister of Israel. There's been never been a stronger friend to Israel than Donald Trump. If you look back to last June, when the air war with Iran was taking place, this was Israel and America working together to take down an atomic weapons program that everybody had just talked about for a long time. And there, for 25 years, Israel has known that there was an atom bomb being built in Iran, and nobody could do anything about it, but only the current administration was really willing to step up to the plate and say, okay, you're not going to build this bomb, and we have B-2 bombers that are going to stop it, and they did. So everybody's very, very aware of that and very grateful.
Well, we hope that the ceasefire holds and things move forward in the right direction. Daron Lavin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having
and
me.
And more reporting from you, right, coming up? More stories?
Yeah. More stories in the Detroit News. There was one this week about a visit to the Weizmann Institute of Science, which is one of the world's premier scientific institutions, that was damaged by Iranian missiles. That was in that's in the Detroit News op-ed page, and two more on the Detroit News op-ed page coming in the coming weeks.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.